Hey, everybody. Welcome to Lucha Aftergrounds, the premier Lucha Underground after show on the web. My name is Max. With me, as always,
Travis.
What is up? Apologies if there's it sounds like there's a quaint French family having a conversation in
just
the background.
Just to the outside of the studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody is returning home.
Sounds like a reunion of some sort. Yes.
That's right. Yeah. Taking place. They're great. I love those guys, actually.
Yeah, that's good.
Uh-huh. Trav, how's it going?
Good. Yeah. You know, we voted today. Did you vote?
I did vote. I voted in advance.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the civic election in Vancouver, Canada.
Yep. So that's always exciting.
Mm-hmm. Anything lucha or wrestling related?
Oh, okay. I brought over that the recent graphic novel that came out by Aubrey Sitterson. Which is really, really great. Really want to recommend it. The reason why I mention it is because there's a full page devoted to Lucha Underground.
That's right.
That's a nice touch. And that, you know, that's a feather in a cap, if nothing else. A legacy.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. It was sort of startling to see.
Mm-hmm.
And especially...
You know, so, and there's an index in that, right?
Oh, really?
And so what I had done, like the way, when I first got this, and I was just flipping through it before I started reading it, I went to, I'm like, okay, I wonder if Ricochet's in here.
Mm.
And then boom, I see him, and then I've turned to that page, and then I see Prince Puma, aka Ricochet.
No kidding.
And so same thing, like based on that, I wonder if Ivelisse made this book, and she did. You know, it's pretty
crazy.
Cool.
It's a lot thicker of a book. It looks mm-hmm. very comprehensive.
Yeah. I mean, as much as it could be, because it has to be for the narrative he's telling in terms of history. It goes back to American roots, obviously. So he can't, there is an article or a chapter devoted to Mexican, a chapter devoted to Japan, a chapter devoted to England. But by that nature of that storytelling, is those areas do kind of get a little brushed over, but
sure.
That's fine. Like he, just the fact that they each get a chapter shows that he's acknowledging their importance in the form.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks amazing. I can't.
Yeah.
I want to get my hands on a copy for sure. Definitely check that out. News notes, Rey Mysterio,
mm-hmm.
is definitely now back with WWE.
Had a match against Nakamura.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That
oh,
was
wow.
his first match back. It was to qualify for this
World Cup thing,
yeah, that we've, oh, boy.
Is that on, SmackDown 1000?
Yeah, I believe, or maybe the one before it. It could have been the episode before it. Yeah, but he has not lost a step.
I know.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
His match in All In was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Other than that, there really has not been very much. Mm-hmm. Marty the Moth did a Ask Me Anything on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of news came coming out of that. Not a lot of notes either.
Yeah, he's really put his brand out there, as I said, since they put this gold on him, mm-hmm. timing-wise. I mean, like, in terms of when it happened in the episode. So I guess this is, like I remember I told you him live casting himself playing Spider-Man or whatever and all these other things. Whatever, if this is working for him. But I mean, it's the most active I've seen him on social media since I knew of his existence.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. He was asked about what his favorite match was in Lucha Underground history, and he said the match that we haven't seen yet.
Ooh.
So that's his Ultima Lucha Cuatro match.
Uh-huh.
Ultima Lucha Cuatro.
His match? Is that what he was insinuating?
Yeah, mm-hmm. sure.
The Sierra Miedo match.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So... looking forward to that for sure.
Great.
But other than that, not a lot of news.
Don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Lucha Underground, Season 4, Episode 18. In the recap, we get the Aerostar and Phoenix story, Marty and Reclusa, as we have learned her name is, and Johnny Mundo, along with Ricky and his story, and Matanza. We enter the Ice Temple, and there's a new band.
Yeah.
Who I don't think we've ever seen.
No, these are brand new.
L43.
Yeah.
Crazy.
What's even crazier is what happens
In I know, the next episode, they're not there. So I wonder if that was just kind of, if they rearranged some matches in order or something.
Who knows?
I guess we'll find out if, like, maybe L43 will be back for all the Ultima Lucha Quattro matches. But they looked wild, man.
Yeah.
It's like a marching band.
Unique footage of, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know either. It doesn't match up with all the other band appearances that we had seen earlier. So who knows? We shall see.
Mm-hmm.
So right away in the ring, Taya is on the mic and she calls us, Antonio Cueto, you piece of shit.
The first things
first lines of dialogue in this week's episode. And Antonio comes out, says, your son ruined my wedding, calls out Matanza, and oh my god, we got a sacrifice about to take place, or do we? I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I see an Ultima Lucha Quattro match here, like, I mean, obviously.
Yeah. Is this the first person who's called out Matanza, at least this season?
I think so.
Has anybody ever challenged Matanza in the past?
No, I don't.
I don't even know if Rey Mysterio did, or was that just a match that was put together
by
Dario?
Yeah. Yeah, Ray may have. Mm-hmm. Anyway, not since he started sacrificing people, anyways.
Yeah.
This opens up to a match between the two of them. Got that tie of fire right away. Like, she's still furious that he ruined her special day.
That's right.
And sacrificed two of their wedding guests, I guess, or two of the wedding party, as she said. Antonio Cueto smiling on the outside looked really good. Taya had a combination that, you know, was, I don't know, was, it was just all done for her. I think she really got, she got a lot of offense here.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the first time that Matanza felt really challenged.
Mm-hmm.
Before he sacrificed Jack Evans, there was a longer match because Jack Evans was going for more of, like, I don't know, runaway strategic sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it lasted a little longer, but this is the most offense anybody's got
in. Yeah, and it's the most he looked like, it's the most he sold, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Had the first near fall in any of the sacrifices
on
his case. But right away, Johnny enters for the disqualification. So Taya did not get sacrificed, which really would have been something. But it sounds like they've got something for her now anyways. Good beatdown with the end of the world. And he talks about, just on the way out, you just hear him go, slam, tam, just as they're going to break.
I was a little disappointed that this ended up being a Johnny Matanza match. I think I actually would have been more intrigued by a Taya Matanza match.
Mm-hmm.
Taya sort of, Ultima Lucha. She sort of specializes, one, she showed the fire. She came out and challenged.
Yeah.
Right? And two, she does have some sort of weird, she has somehow become an expert at going toe-to-toe with huge, large, strong men.
Mm-hmm.
And this felt more like her wheelhouse. What she does end up getting booked for feels a little bit of a consolation prize for me.
I suppose. What was it? I mean, we'll get to it.
Mm.
For her, but if they're putting together a card, you rather have Matanza Mundo on this big event?
Yeah. I guess I understand. But if you want to attract those viewers, I guess, or if you wanted to sell tickets or something, sure. But if this is a weekly thing that's getting, you know, 90,000 people watching, well, let's go with the, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But also,
in a lot of ways, I think Ricky Mundo versus Johnny Mundo is a bigger match for me as well.
I guess. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
You know? If it's true that I don't really know, I guess I don't really know what's going to happen in either of those two matches. It would be very intense if Johnny Mundo got sacrificed.
Yeah.
Do you know what will happen? He won't get sacrificed, and then he will get a wish granted.
Yeah. That he can wish everybody back to life.
Back to life.
Yeah.
God, that's so silly.
This could be an interesting wrap-up, the way they wrap things up, just with all the what they've built up to here.
I know. I just can't wait to find out if at the end of Ultima Lucha, the final thing, do we have a vignette that teases that this will continue?
I have a theory that I think they already are.
Oh,
based
really?
On what we've done.
Oh my god.
anyways. So the heirs, oh, they do. They run down the Ultimate Lucha Quattro card, and they talk about Johnny Mundo versus Matanza. Is there, were there any stipulations in that one? I don't think so.
No, it's just that I think if Johnny loses, he's sacrificed.
Yeah. Son of Havoc versus Killshot, and Mask versus Mask. Lucha Underground Championship, Pentagon Dark versus Marty. Mil Muertes versus the Mac in a death match. Dragon Azteca Jr. versus Phoenix in a 2 out of 3 falls. That's what we have at that
time.
And we have a couple more. Obviously, we have the rest put on there. It's not, but it doesn't feel bloated.
It doesn't feel bloated, but it also doesn't, I don't know if I really feel like it's all, these are things that have come to a head. And this is sort of a criticism, I think, of Lucha Underground in general, is that the Ultima Lucha shows never felt like the culmination of something much bigger.
Yeah.
It always just felt like, you know, if you track the feuds throughout the seasons, they sort of have like 2 or 3 sort of tentpole moments, right, where feuds sort of get blown off and then new feuds begin. And this just always has felt like the third tentpole.
Yeah.
And nothing more, the stakes not really ever higher or anything like that. Certainly not all the stories weaving together into one final moment.
Boy, wouldn't that be great?
I know. Well, actually, you know, at the end of season one, with Dario being thrown in jail and stuff like that, there was maybe a little bit more of that, but... And with, God, remember when Mel and Katrina took over the temple?
Yeah. Oof. Oh, boy.
Wow. Those were the days. That was just like... Mwah.
Yeah, the best.
The best times, but...
Yeah.
The... yeah, so I feel the same way about this Ultima Lucha as I felt about all the other ones, where I'm just sort of like, yeah, this will be... These are going to be great matches, I have no doubt. Yeah. And they're going to be one great match after another great match. But
we've still got that great angle, that amazing angle.
Which one?
With Dragon Azteca Jr. and Phoenix.
Yeah. But 2 out of 3 falls. What's going to happen?
Oh, so what happens God, if that they... just gives them all sorts of more storytelling possibilities. I think that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you mean like telling a story in the ring?
Yeah.
Yeah. Without question.
That
right?
could... Yeah.
But I wonder... Like, there's no way that match ends and Phoenix doesn't somehow become good again, right?
I hope.
Or can you imagine somehow they turn Dragon Azteca?
Oh, my God.
Dude, that would be amazing. Awful. And it ends with them both doing some sort of combination pile driver on Melissa.
Meltzer driver.
Yeah.
Awful.
It'd be great.
Yeah. But anyways, that gets us to our next match, which is the Mac and Dragon Azteca Jr. versus Mil Muertes and Phoenix. I like this match. Mil Muertes with power stuff on Dragon Azteca Jr., and he was replying with his speed. Phoenix with that awesome rope work that I just don't see anybody else do that.
Aerostar, for sure.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It seems like he's just creating new things all the time. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's a little baby facey, but whatever. The Mac with that trademark athleticism that we love. Everybody's just working their tail off.
This match was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, the entire thing was just so... everybody doing all their best stuff in ways that made sense. And near falls left and right. It was so exciting. It was heart-pounding. The whole thing was great. I'm curious to know if you gave any snowflakes on this.
Yeah, I did. I went 3. Just went with the 3. Yeah.
I'd say so. It was awesome. Definitely in a vacuum... Just to, like, turn this on and be like, watch this match.
Yeah.
It's an excellent match.
Yeah.
But when you start looking at it in terms of story and stuff like this, it didn't make any difference who won or lost. And...
In a way. Other than, you want having the baby faces, look defeated... before the big thing. Like, that's kind of booking 101. That happens all the time.
Yeah. I didn't see any reason for this match to exist.
No, it's true.
And I'm glad it did.
Yeah.
It was entertaining, but in terms of like storytelling or anything like that, or the like,
you
logic
don't think it, I think it comes down to the double finishers and pin on the babyface. Like, oh my gosh, are they both going to lose to these dark evil? You know what I mean? I think that's why you do it. That's why it was there. And I think it adds a little more heat to the match, to their match. Do you think maybe their time could have been used better to add some, but I think there's already, well, I think Phoenix and Dragon Azteca Jr. has as much heat as you can, have on it right now. Mm-hmm. And they've developed things enough that enough to show this moment of Phoenix looking like he is the stronger one.
Yeah.
Is perfect for him. But, and I would say maybe the Mac and Mil Muertes could have used a bit more of a dimension. How about I give you that?
Yeah, I agree. I just don't know if putting this out there was necessary when you have so little that's been communicated about, like, let's say the Trios Champions, right?
Sure.
Or Ricky Mundo. How the whole Ricky Mundo stuff happened, I was just like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad the match exists. It's a fantastic match. I think it's my favorite match of the season.
Wow. Yeah.
But in terms of in-ring, it served... There was no reason for it to have happened, I don't think. I think it was in some ways...
Again, I'm just looking at, like, your standard, like, booker, like, kind of thing. It's like, we want to get people a little more fired up for these guys' matches coming up. We'll put them together.
Yeah.
Ring the bell.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. But yeah, it was a stunner party. There was high spots from everybody. Mm-hmm. Wild couple of spots from Phoenix. Eventually, I'm like, yeah, this is an epic match.
There was a moment in this match where the cameraman got kicked.
Yes,
and it looked so perfect.
I know
that I was like, oh, is this work? Is the camera something's gonna happen with the cameraman?
Yeah.
For the first time ever, I was like, oh, they're gonna acknowledge the cameraman.
Yeah.
And then they didn't.
But they didn't really. But the crowd, you could hear the crowd like cheer for him when he got right back at it.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Oh my God.
Yeah, as I wrote, I put this is 3 stars. I said solid build for their final matches. But I will agree that I think they could have done a little bit more. But that's, we're comparing it with this awesome angle that is the Phoenix and Dragon Azteca one.
Yeah, but.
And that's a.
You only need 20 minutes to make an angle awesome.
I agree. Or less.
Yeah, exactly.
We go to the next segment. Famous B is on the mic. He's talking... what was he talking about?
He's coming out of retirement.
Yeah.
He rehabbed
the leg. He's back in fighting condition. Mm-hmm. He signed a contract with himself. Ricky Mundo enters and did not care for this. Brenda's line of Ricky Retardo. Just not cool.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Not cool. Like, that was, like, literally her... Everything else was just a laugh from her. Anyways, I guess we got a match here, which is Ricky Mundo versus Famous B with Brenda. Ricky Mundo with the early B. He was vicious throughout this. This is the most we've seen Ricky Mundo look like a threat.
The only victory he's ever had.
Yeah, you're probably right, yeah. There's a nice little Pele kick. They call it a Pele kick, but almost looked like an Enziguri from Famous B.
Mm-hmm. In, like, his loafers.
Yes.
That probably would hurt.
Yeah. Ricky Mundo with a dominant finisher, too, for the win.
Mm-hmm.
He crawls to the doll, grabs the mic, calls out Johnny Mundo and Taya, explains that he was the one who freed Matanza, challenges Taya. I guess here I agree with you. I wrote kind of, okay, fine.
Yeah. I don't know.
And he put Brenda in a crossface to wrap it all up.
Yeah. Why would Ricky come out? He has no beef with Famous
B. I know. I guess it's just he's lost his mind. He just wants to hurt people.
I guess. And then he's going to attack Brenda. Sure. That should get you heat. But if you're going to put somebody in a submission like that, you have to hold it for like twice as long as they showed it. Otherwise, it doesn't feel like it's real.
Mm.
And if you don't have the time, just power bomb her through a table.
Sure. That's the way I solve all my problems.
Yeah. Or like,
especially when I'm in a crunch for time.
Yes. Exactly. My bus isn't here. I gotta be at work. Power bomb Brenda through a table. Problem solved. I don't know. The whole thing came across as a little, and it's not Ricky. It's not the performer's fault.
No.
I think it's
just a little slapdash the way they're putting this one together.
Exactly.
Oh well. It's further down the card.
Mm-hmm. Now, I gotta say, talking about this so we're gonna get Ricky Mundo versus Taya. I want a Ricky Mundo victory.
You do?
I want a Ricky Mundo victory. Doesn't have to be decisive, but I want it to permanent. I want Ricky Mundo to kayfabe murder Taya.
Oh my God.
I know. Yeah.
What?
Because that will. it will be a, it will just unleash a whole, it'll be the payoff to all of this.
Okay.
Because if she just beats him, mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, and he's embarrassed and crawls into the shadows, then what was the point of any of this?
Yeah.
So we have to raise.
He has to murder her. In
I
this
think
scenario?
That's the best thing, or puts her in a wheelchair or something.
Okay.
Yeah, something really, really bad, and then you can have Johnny be like, "It should have been me in that match.
Ah.
It should have been me. That never would have happened."
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, and then you can get your full Mundo face turn at that point. He can get revenge on Ricky Mundo. I think there's something there, but it has to have...
Okay. I see where you're going with it.
People are not going to take this match seriously in any way.
Sure.
And so you have to make them realize how wrong they were when it ends.
Hmm.
Like, you should have taken Ricky Mundo seriously.
Hmm.
This guy is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He murdered the agent.
Yeah.
Did he also murder someone else?
Maybe.
And Helico, maybe?
But maybe off camera.
Yeah. Was it him or was it all of the world? I can't
Somebody
remember.
Somebody did.
Premier... A Lucha Underground.
Oh my God! Please, even the best would have to go to their murder chart. You know, at this point. You sold me, man, big time, big time. Mm-hmm. What is the point of this whole story with him? What is the point of his arc if he's just going to? No, well, I guess I try something else.
I've got this
doll. Didn't work.
Mm-hmm. I'm a crazy guy with the doll.
Mm-hmm. All right, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never taken him seriously.
That's right. Time to take him seriously.
Yeah, good.
Good.
All right, main event. I like in her introduction, she is from the Wicked Web, Reclusa.
That's good.
Versus Pentagon Dark.
Reddit.
Yeah.
She's from Reddit.
Yes.
4chan.
That's funny. Reclusa looks tremendous. That outfit is smoking hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Reclusa hits a crossbody early. She was on the offense. I would notice a trend here where women didn't hold back from being on top for a lot of their matches.
It's so interesting that you're opening with that, because I kind of felt like Reclusa was on the receiving end for like 95% of this
eventually.
Like, it felt like it was all Pentagon early, to the point where I was kind of like, getting weird.
Okay, so she hits the crossbody early and goes to the outside, and she throws Pentagon Dark into the chairs, and she does that running flip into the chairs, and she almost loses her top there. It was a quick cutaway from that.
I didn't notice that.
And is caught.
Frame by frame.
Yes, speaking of which, did you see Nicole Matthews' second match? She was having wardrobe problems the whole match.
No, man. I haven't watched any of the Young Classic.
It's a shame. I mean, she still kept it together as much as she could, but it was constant. It was tough. I felt bad for her.
No!
Especially that's her last match in America for 5 years.
No!
Yeah.
So I'm guessing she loses that match.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Well, and she has an excuse.
Yeah. I guess. Mm-hmm. Kayfabe excuse.
Yeah.
A loud chest slap. This is probably what you're talking about when Pentagon Dark hit the chest slap on her. And he throws her into the chair. So it did change over. Yeah. And she was shouting a lot.
After the chairs, coming out of the chairs, back into the ring. It was just like, I didn't feel like she was getting any offense in until three quarters mm-hmm. through into this thing.
But he did. He had an extended beatdown. That's what I wrote here. Brings her back to the ring. And she hits a great Hurricane Rana. And she can work a match, man.
Mm-hmm.
It takes it to the outside. Like, she had landed it to the outside. And then a tope into it. Spinning DDT, awesome stuff.
Yes, that's when things started to turn around.
Yeah,
for sure.
Pentagon Dark hits a super kick for a near fall. He takes her up for another. Remember he hit her. What was this? This is one of the better intergender matches we've seen, I thought, this season. Pentagon Dark hits his package pile driver onto the apron.
Yeah, that was,
but
like,
it did
that
take
really
a while
good.
To bring her in. So I guess she was able to kick out. I thought that was interesting that she was at least still able to kick out from that.
Mm.
Reclusa hits a balls kick, Canadian Destroyer for another near fall. Pentagon Dark hits a finisher again for the win. Goes for the arm break, but instead grabs thumbtacks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think here's what they're doing, and as well as what would happen later, because Marty enters with the barbed wire baseball bat, and Reclusa grabs gasoline and starts pouring on Pentagon Dark, and there's a "you sick fuck" chant. Starts up the lighter, and he blows out the lighter just to cut to black. To finish the match. So I think what they're doing here is say, "Hey, get ready." I think this is what Marty was talking about on his Reddit match.
Yeah,
or his Reddit AMA.
There'll be fire.
Yeah,
I think there
and
has
thumbtacks.
There has to be fire.
Yeah.
You cannot.
Yeah.
You cannot do something like that and then not light something
on.
Of course, I don't want to see a human lit on
yes!
fire. But I do recall when
Vampiro and
there was fire there. Totally. Yeah. And I also remember when the Dudleys came back to WWE not too long ago for their most recent run.
Yeah.
There was a couple of spots where they would like pull out a table, pull out like kerosene and start dumping it, and then we're always prevented from lighting the table on fire. Yeah. And then there was never any payoff. And I was like, What are you doing? Why would you even tease it?
That. We'll put it in people's heads.
Exactly. So don't put it in people's heads.
Yes.
Unless you're gonna light something on fire.
Yes. Or maybe it will it'll end in a schmoz and Pentagon Dark will feel wronged. So as a protest, one of those old monks will light himself on fire. And that's how we finish season 4.
That would be incredible. Somebody lights themselves on fire. What would it have to take for... What kind of story would you have to tell to have a wrestler... Obviously, this would happen in a vignette.
Yes.
Okay. So let's imagine behind the scenes, there's somebody who wants to get out of their contract, whatever. Okay, we're writing you off. You're done after this episode. But the goal is to come up with a story where at the reason why you're off is because you're so righteous about something.
Yeah.
You're going to light yourself on fire and burn yourself to death. What would that have to be?
I know.
Maybe I could see a Ricky Mundo or Marty the Moth type character with mental problems.
Yes.
Going that route.
Yes.
I could see somebody who goes into really heavy into the Aztec god sacrifice
thing.
It could be Matanza, really.
Sure.
Yeah.
It could be Mil Muertes if he's just lost his mind because Katrina's
not around.
Yeah.
Totally. Phoenix for sure.
Oh my god.
With the fire and stuff.
Oh my god. That might be the end.
Especially if it's just if the fire is black.
Yes.
Or something, they can do
something like that.
Or Drago.
Yeah.
That could make a lot of sense.
Of
something to do with the reptile tribe or something. There's ways. Occupation. Maybe the CIA takes over the temple and then Antonio Cueto does it out of protest. I don't know. That's dumb.
That's funny.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about how you feel about finishers in general. I feel lately, definitely when I'm watching Lucha Underground, all the time when I'm watching, basically when I'm just watching wrestling right now,
mm-hmm.
I feel like is there any point in going for a pin if you haven't used your finisher to go for that pin? Because we all know.
It's a fine art, but there are people who get away with something that's not their finisher that makes a crowd bite on, that could totally be a finish. What's his name's? Sami Zayn's Blue Thunder. Every time, whenever he hits it, always.
But once you get used to it, right, then you know.
You would think, but somehow they're able to pull. Some of them are able to pull it off. Even, there's something as simple as a superplex that takes a really long time to get to, and you hit it off the ropes, and then you go for the pin.
Yeah.
That people will bite on stuff like that.
What?
Even seasoned marks.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I just don't maybe I've become too jaded, but I just don't feel like I bite on any of that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And is there any harm in letting people have 2, 3, 4 moves that they can finish someone off with?
Some do.
I would love, why not just a straight powerbomb? If anybody can, a powerbomb is just a finisher, it's open source finisher for anybody at any time.
Hmm.
Or even just a really strong.
Yeah, you're talking old All Japan. That was everybody kind of had their things, but there were either a dragon suplex or a belly to back or a powerbomb when they would show up and they would mean something. Yeah.
Totally. I feel like. I need it in order to stay. On the same vein, I feel the same way about match length, where it's I don't even feel there's a lot of point in me watching the first half of matches anymore.
Sometimes
I'm just just skip ahead to the.
Sometimes. Sometimes. Mm-hmm.
But if I didn't, if I legitimately didn't know when a match was going to end, then I would, I'd be tuned in. I'd be like, what is going to happen? Man, I got swerved so hard when in New Japan, Kushida lost to Hiromu, taking time bomb in like a minute 12. It was like completely.
I remember when that happened.
Yeah. That kind of stuff, like, if it happens in MMA, if it happens in boxing, like, I think it should really happen in wrestling.
Sure, sure.
And I think, and there's a way to do it so that it continue, it tells a story. And I think there's a way to do it that it tells a story in the same way that, like, for me, it's like, it's similar to telling a story with, like, a 30-minute time limit draw, right?
Sure.
It's like, oh, you clipped him with, like, you got him with the hit, there was an injury or something like that. It wasn't on his game for some reason.
Yes.
Lost quickly. We didn't get to see the match that he wanted, so we're going to rebook it later on. I just wish.
I know.
There were some ways. It's becoming... The pattern is beginning to emerge a little bit too much, I feel. And is it just me? I don't know.
No. It does happen. Sometimes it does work. Sometimes it pisses people off big time. Yeah. Like, remember... Daniel Bryan, the 17 seconds opening match at WrestleMania, right? People came to watch Daniel Bryan wrestle.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
I'm sure some people are like, oh, because we were going to get a Kushida and Hiromu match, right?
Yeah.
It was exciting, but but there's that too, and you got to think about it. And you got time to fill. Who are you going to, like, I mean, you can do it from time to time, but.
Yeah.
And another example is Goldberg when he can't work too much, right? But that worked. Beautifully, right?
Yeah.
There's all. I get it.
I need a little more variety, man.
Yeah.
I need a little more variety.
Yeah. I think it should be maybe not as sparingly as they do it. Let's say that.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But Max, before we continue, I was going to ask you quickly, like, if you could pick like one era of wrestling, like one TV show from like one time period, what would you pick?
One like weekly television, like probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. That's tough. If I had to choose one.
Yep.
Probably NWA Worldwide. And I would start in like early 83.
88 is what you were going to say, I think, right? Is that what you meant?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what you meant.
Let me do it again.
Okay.
Probably NWA Worldwide.
Okay.
And I would start in early 88.
Huh.
Like January, February, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy that you'd say that.
I know. It's probably not what anybody would think I would say.
Uh-huh. Well, but
I've said it.
The reason why I say it's so crazy is because this week's episode of Greetings from Allentown, episode 86, is on an episode of NWA Worldwide, February 6th, 1988.
February 6th?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, so I think, I mean, you should check it out.
Well, I mean, I've seen those shows so often.
Yeah.
It's my favorite shows.
So, and
I'll relive it through.
But I mean, I think other people should too, because Peter Winston is awesome and that's a great show and everybody should check it out. But because he is a big part of the Pro Wrestling Only network, just like us, and you guys should check out ProWrestlingOnly.com to explore other podcasts, along with match reviews, features and retrospectives, reviews of wrestling books, video games and matches, playlists, wrestler appearances in non-wrestling TV shows and movies, and more. You can also join the conversation by signing up at the PWO forums. We've been online for over a decade with over 2,000 registered members and an arcade of over 4 million threads. Our message board is a vibrant community all its own. Whether you want to talk about a specific match in our match discussion archive, take a deep dive in the Microscope forum, or discuss more general topics from wrestling's past and present, check this, all of this, and more out at www.prowrestlingonly.com.
Great job.
Cool. Thank you.
Very slick.
Thanks. Yeah. So what else is up, pal?
Not a whole lot.
Wow. I should mention my my sister and her family are in town. Mm-hmm. And her brother-in-law is the best. And he always just wants to find good places to eat. We were wanting to go for oysters at some point today. Mm. And he just sent me this picture of this. Look at this. Look at that. It's like he's rubbing it in my face. I may have to go and see if I can find him on the way home.
Where is he?
I don't know. He just sent me a picture of that looks like a huge plate of oysters. We got to be quick.
Sure.
No.
I'm not a big oyster guy. When I look at them, I don't understand them.
You don't love that snotty texture? That doesn't do it for you?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. It's obviously something that you got to work yourself up to. But, man, oh, boy. Once you like an oyster, oysters...
Yeah. I know a lot of people who like seek them out.
Yeah.
I just really don't get it. It's like when I look at it, I'm like, what is this? Mm-hmm. Like, is there a brain in this thing?
No.
Am I just going to eat? I'm eating its entire body.
Yep.
Yeah. That's fucked.
Body and soul.
Yes. God.
Season 4, episode 19. You know what the title of this one was? Savagery.
Yeah, that's okay.
Recap: Son of Havoc and Killshot, as well as Matanza wrecking the wedding, and Jake Strong just all the ankle breaks. Our first, we start the vignette in Antonio's office. He is looking at the medallions. So right away, I'm like, okay, well, they're going to bring these back again before the end of the thing, but maybe there'll be something different.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, it is. But enter Jake in a suit. Jake Strong in a suit. He's like, why did you call me here? Mm-hmm. He offers him a medallion. He's basically telling me, I like your work. You've been cracking the bones, my friend. Mm-hmm. Jake Strong accepts, of course. But on the way out, it was like the most intriguing thing to happen character-wise to Jake Strong all season long. Says, this isn't your temple anymore. It's mine.
Yeah.
Like a super monster voice. I'm like,
yeah, it was intriguing. It makes me want his story to progress as quickly as possible.
Do you have any theories right now about why is he a monster?
I would hope that he is that guy with the silver mask that we saw at the very final vignette in season 3.
Okay.
The guy who I believe they implied was the limo guy.
Yeah.
But I think I think all of that is just
mixed in with everything.
It's just gone.
See, I think he's got the gauntlet.
You think he's got the gauntlet?
Yeah.
Oh,
and it's turning
wow.
him into a monster.
Oh, wow. Wow. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good theory because the gauntlet is missing.
Yep.
Huh. Huh.
And it's got to show up again. They can't finish the season without another reference to that, I don't think.
We've seen footage of what Cuerno and Aerostar and someone else with the gauntlet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Cage had it originally.
Yeah, no, but I mean, in like the preview trailer for season 4.
Right.
There was a shot of...
Right. I think it was Cuerno.
Mm-hmm. So something's going to happen with that gauntlet for sure.
Yeah, we shall see.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I like that. That makes some sense. How did he get it? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to know, are we going to get the CIA guys back? What the hell is going on with this show, man?
I know. Yeah. Is Joey Ryan still a police officer?
Yeah, I saw a thread on Reddit that was, like, on Squared Circle, and it was, like, the question was, should I watch Lucha Underground? Like, should I watch all of Lucha Underground? And I did not know what the answer to that was. I definitely would say watch like episode, like maybe in the first season, episode 2 or 3 when they debut Phoenix and Pentagon Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first two episodes are a little dicey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like they're just lots of exposition, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But maybe I would say go, you know what? Let's be generous. Watch season 1, episode 1 until what, the end of season 2? For sure.
Oh, yeah. No, I would say, I think even that's generous.
Mm.
I think the end of season 2 was a big disappointment.
Mm.
I think I mean, we could talk about, I think we're getting more into what's our reflections on this thing as a whole.
That's fair.
But when we do get to that bigger conversation, I'll tell you, I think this show peaked Aztec Warfare 2.
Wow, yeah. That's fair. That is fair. That is probably...
I mean, there's been amazing moments since then, but that's mm-hmm. when it was just like on all cylinders. Like, yeah. I was excited for every episode.
Every episode, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyways, let's talk about this episode.
Yeah, season 4. ECNO is back. Quavo, whatever. Antonio Cueto is by the ring. Says, we need to decide on a new Gift of the Gods champion. He calls out Aerostar. And then PJ Black. So we've got a match here with Aerostar, PJ Black, Hernandez, Big Bad Steve, King Cuerno, Jake Strong, and first time all season,
I know,
Dante Fox.
I know. What? This led me to a couple of different things. One, Dante Fox, hey, I think it's great that he's in there
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But my bigger concern was like, do we really have nothing for King Cuerno? For Ultima Lucha Quattro?
I know.
Like, the dude is amazing.
I know. And no Cage.
Yeah. But that's okay.
Yeah.
I can accept that you've written him off the show or mm-hmm. he's not available or something like that. But Cuerno is there.
Yeah. I see your point. Yep.
He's been a player in this whole thing. You did all this work in the first half of the season to turn him from heel to face.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're just not doing anything with him in the mm-hmm. final. Like, what the hell?
I know.
The guy is fantastic.
I know. Maybe he will end up with it or with something. Maybe he does get something. I think he deserves... It felt like they were spending more time on him, too. I think he deserves something mm-hmm. better than to just be... His story just kind of swept under the rug or mixed yeah. in with everything else here.
And his next week, Ultima Lucha?
Is the beginning. Is the first episode, yeah.
So crazy.
I know. But you want to talk about that tag match from last episode and they're not being necessary? This, like... This is a battle royal for who doesn't make it to the, but you, whoever you get to decide yeah, exactly. doesn't win. Like, that's convoluted. I wrote yeah. that with a period after each of those syllables.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. Yeah, Dante Fox is back. So this went by pretty quick.
Yeah, it wasn't
Big Bad Steve eliminated by Aerostar. He got to shine a little bit, Aerostar.
I guess.
Hernandez is eliminated. Jake Strong eliminates everybody except for Dante. He hits a running lariat and tosses him out of there for the win, and then just says he wants all seven. This is why I said I think he has the gauntlet. Seven to survive, mm-hmm. Elimination match. Antonio Cueto offers up Johnny Mundo for tonight to Jake Strong.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. It was a match I didn't realize I wanted, but mm-hmm. as soon as he said it, I was like, "Oh, okay,
yeah,
I'll watch that."
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think I'm getting very nervous that this whole thing is going to end with Jake Strong as the champion?
Quite possible.
He's going to win the Battle Royale. He'll get the Gift of the Gods champion, and they have changed the rules.
Well, if you got the money.
Yeah,
or he could offer up the gauntlet,
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he'll run in at the end. Marty will lose to Pentagon, and then Jake Strong comes in, defeats Pentagon with a single move,
mm-hmm.
and ends.
As yeah, the champ. Maybe
this is what I think is going to happen.
Maybe. I don't know.
Or maybe Dante Fox will win. Yeah. Why else bring him back?
I know. Or just to destroy himself. In what will be, you know, this will be your spot fest show of the night. It's an elimination match, too. So, mm-hmm. in a way, it's like a little mini Aztec Warfare we got here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, we'll
anyways.
See. We'll see.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. we talked about availability of talent and... I think this is Exhibit A
mm-hmm.
of, you know, Desmond Xavier doesn't have a spot on this card. Just people who we saw earlier mm-hmm. in this season. It's nice to see Guevara get back into things, but
mm-hmm.
It just shows, like, who is around? Who do they have? And Dante Fox, they're it's a good idea to have him there.
Yeah.
But I agree with you about Cuerno. He deserves something better.
Mm-hmm.
Next match, Killshot versus the Mac. Son of Havoc watches from the rafters. This had a great start. An awesome bump by the Mac to the outside. It's kind of like the old Buddy Rose bump where he kind of, his legs were hanging off the, like he was hanging to the outside, but his feet were stuck on the last rope. So he's kind of hanging straight forward. Mm-hmm. And then Killshot could do his stomp onto him because that looked great. Mil Muertes interferes and Son of Havoc is like, all right, just starts climbing down the ladder. Let's do this. So we get the schmoz, which is good. That's fine, right? I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
We had already kind of got, we still didn't really get more of the Mac and thing, but whatever. This filled time. It reminded us of their upcoming match. Ivelisse, or matches, I should say, between the mm-hmm. two who got involved. Ivelisse and XO are in the ring with Matt Stryker. This is unique. You don't usually have mm-hmm. Him out there giving interviews.
Stryker was wearing a Marty Elias t-shirt.
That's right. That was pretty funny. Three-way trios match. Joey can't fight. So again, this is all...
Yeah. It's like, Joey can't fight. What the hell?
It's all, I'm sure it's all scheduling stuff, right? Remember my dream that their thing was going to end with an on-air kiss between him and...
Exolicious.
Yep. Not this time.
I know.
They need a new partner, and they introduce, as I mentioned earlier, Sammy Guevara.
Sure.
An interfamous B with that massive contract. This was so dumb.
It was, but it was also kind of funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. But
it's like, oh, it's a 7-year contract.
Yes, that part I liked. That part was great. That was a really nice touch.
Yeah.
I bet you the boys and girls mm-hmm. who had issues with them, who are now don't have issues with them, are kind of like, that's good. That's cute.
Yo, I'm sure.
That's really sweet. I thought that was great. Really self-aware, self-deprecating.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I'm like, he hits a high spot and he drops a contract in the garbage and puts it on Famous B. And I guess that means, I don't know if you're a legal expert, but I believe in Boyle Heights County, within the county, that
it's
contract is officially null and void.
Right. As long, if you pick it up and you throw it in the trash.
And then kick the trash can on top of the person you had signed the contract with.
Yep. You can do whatever you want.
Null and void.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Poor Famous B, man. He just doesn't get any breaks. Like, what's he done to deserve?
That's what he's there for. His confidence. Too much misguided confidence.
You're too full of yourself. Yeah, therefore, you
enjoy this.
You just deserve to be.
Yeah. And you get the impression that he doesn't treat his talent that well. Right? Remember, he's got Tejano and whoever. Tejano, Dr. Wagner Jr. working house shows in Tijuana. That was hilarious. Oh. That was one of the best lines of the season.
Totally. God. I mean, he's not even wrong.
Yeah. No. We know Wagner Jr.'s looking great and feeling great.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I think working. And I think working a lot.
Yeah, but they're still doing house shows in Tijuana.
Sure. Anyways, they go over the Ultimate Lucha Cuatro card. Was there anything we've got this trios, a three-way trios match with the Reptile Tribe and the Rabbit Tribe.
Yeah. That'll all be good.
Yeah,
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Who do you think will win that?
Who will be our trios champions at the end? I think the unlikely trio.
I think so too. Yeah. You have to. You have to end this thing with that strap on Ivelisse.
Yeah.
You
bless
have
her.
To.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. I mean, I think with my concern was, I'm like, are they setting up for too many babyface wins? I think the Son of Havoc Killshot could go either way because both of them are kind of whatever. But I love your Mundo, your Ricky Mundo theory. I think that's great. And I think there's still, it's open to debate as to I think it's pretty up in the air as to what's going to happen with the championship.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for sure, Phoenix has got to come back, come home. We've got to see good Phoenix back again, some sort of change there.
And Drago, what's going on with Drago?
Drago, I don't know.
Drago doesn't even get to be in the Battle Royale?
No, I guess not. Is there a Battle Royale as well?
Or whatever it is, the Elimination 7?
No.
What is happening with him? What's he going to do?
I don't know. But anyways, I really feel like, yes, that's got to end well. Mm-hmm. I feel like there was another one that I'm forgetting. That I think also just kind of has to have a kind of a happy ending. But I was worried that there was going to be too much of that. The Mac Mil Muertes. Maybe that's what I was thinking.
Because
the Mac keeps getting... it's a good question. Well, let's wrap things up here. We've got a main event. Savage Jake Strong versus Johnny Mundo. This is the fastest pace Jake has worked all season.
Mm-hmm.
Moves to the outside right away. Good bit of work from Jake Strong when Johnny Mundo was dazed. Do you remember this? The way he was just kind of leaning into him. Beautiful bumping by Johnny Mundo, as always, goes into the crowd.
Yeah, actually, I did notice this. He did a little bit more like ragdolling with his like flips and stuff. So he seemed a little bit slightly more out of control when he was doing a lot of his flippy stuff.
Yeah, puts over the Jake's muscular his muscles, right? His strength goes into the crowd. Jake Strong grabs the ankle. Johnny Mundo grabs a drink and splashes in his face. Is a great line for if we ever go back to the soundboard. If we ever do, it's been a while since we added anything, right? But Vampiro had one of the best slides. Like it just felt like such a soundbite. Johnny's a freak with those parkour skills. It really made me laugh. Great power bomb spot. Johnny Mundo's awesome elbow drop where he added that spin.
Yeah, man.
That was so cool. I backed that up watching with my brother-in-law last night. Vampiro the crowd had kind of dying down. He just had he's feeling silence with nonsense.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
I can't
remember what he was talking about. It was absolute nonsense. Jake Strong with a near fall. Johnny Mundo fights off the gut wrench into a Russian leg sweep. That looked really great.
Mm-hmm.
Goes for the end of the world, is caught in the ankle lock, gets back, gets out, comes back, and a near fall is very good work. Slugfest in the middle of the ring. Jake Strong gets the ankle and won't let go. Dick kick to get out.
I love that because he took off his elbow
or
his elbow pad. He threw it across the ring to distract the ref.
Yes.
Then mule kicked.
That was
primo.
Yep.
Primo psychology. I loved it.
Very good. Johnny Mundo is able to hit the end of the world for a near fall. Jake Strong gets the ankle lock and Johnny taps out. This is again where it's looking like, oh no, if he is kind of our hero now. Which I think he is. He's looking like, oh no, he's not going to be strong enough to beat Matanza.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Strong trending upwards, I'd say, towards Ultima Lucha Cuatro.
Sure.
We had two good matches in a row for him. We had green nunchuck face. That was awesome. That's my hidden gem of the season for sure.
Okay, here's what will happen.
Okay.
All right, in the Battle Royale. I bet you Drago interferes to save Aerostar from Jake Strong again, maybe.
Okay.
That's how Drago will be involved.
Okay.
Something to do with Aerostar and Jake Strong again.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Okay.
Anyways.
I can tell you're really paying attention to my thoughts on this match. That's good.
I know. Anything to do with Jake Strong, man. Yeah. I'm just like, whatever.
Really?
Yeah, really.
He hasn't. These last couple appearances haven't done anything for you. Even with for his character, we got a bit of that. We got something, and we've had two distinctly different and good matches. I wouldn't go three on this, but it wasn't far below it.
The reason why I like the nunchuck match so much is because of the nunchucks and because of Aerostar and Drago.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I like this match so much was because of Johnny Mundo.
Yeah.
There's nothing that Jake Strong is really bringing except for he's the canvas that I feel like they're painting on.
I thought this time he was...
All right.
But that's part of being a good base, man.
I guess so. I feel a very similar way about the guy who showed up as the White Rabbit.
Oh yeah. Well, we didn't really get to see anything from him
I feel like I still haven't seen anything from Jake Strong.
We will. I think we will.
Okay.
Oh, Jake Strong. You don't think we've seen anything? I think we've seen as much as we're going to see from him.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's
that bad. He punches and he kicks. Punches.
And that ankle lock. But he leans in. He leans into it. He's got a good German too. Get off. Come on.
Get off his back, Max. Sorry.
That's all right. Matanza enters and Jake lets go and like leaves kind of willingly because again, then Matanza beats down Mundo and Taya with with the run in, and Matanza shakes her off.
Doesn't this feel like it was like, ooh, maybe they will switch back to Matanza versus Taya?
Well, it does tell me that he could, or she could be involved in some way.
Yeah.
Wrath of the Gods on Taya again, and Mundo's busted open.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Cueto wanders out and kind of gives the head signal to Matanza. Let's go. That was really, really cool. And I think that was it. That wrapped up our go-home show into Ultima Lucha Quattro.
Yeah, I mean, overall, these last two episodes for me, there were some great moments. And definitely that tag team match was a fantastic match. But overall, I think I was ready just to go right into Ultima Lucha for me. I felt like...
Before these two?
Yeah, before these two. Yeah. I mean, I'm ready now, of course.
Well, they set up a couple other matches.
I suppose, yeah. Well, let's go through those and let's talk about our predictions.
Okay. Johnny Mundo versus Matanza.
I think Mundo wins.
Yeah, I do too.
Mundo wins, and I think something will probably happen. This is the end of the Matanza character.
Maybe.
But I don't know what.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and something with the sacrifices, maybe.
Maybe he gets sacrificed. Oh, is it whoever loses gets sacrificed?
Maybe.
Because that's how you, yeah.
Yeah, because Cobb is done. Mm-hmm. I think he said he's done for sure.
Mundo wins.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Son of Havoc versus Killshot, Mask versus Mask.
I think it's a double unmasking.
Sure, I agree. I agree. I think the winner will be, maybe there will be a winner, maybe there won't, but I think you might be right. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because both of them wrestle without masks otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
The real question is, they get unmasked and are the announced team like, it's Matt Cross and Shane Strickland?
Yeah, maybe. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
We'll see.
No, because Killshot has a storyline. Does that match with Shane Strickland? Son of Havoc has a storyline.
Good point.
Yeah. Lucha Underground Championship, Pentagon Dark versus Marty the Moth Martinez.
Pentagon, of course. Of course.
Yeah. When does this happen? Is that going to be your go home? Is that going to be the last? I think probably. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mil Muertes versus the Mac in the death match.
I think this is Mil.
You might be
I
right.
I think you have to give it to Mil.
I think you might be right. Mm-hmm. But we have seen the Mac on the ground for the last two episodes of Mil beating up on him, right?
But maybe this is something you slide into the card as like, because you can't have nothing but
baby faces.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, you have to have, and Mil's character is, it has been positioned to always be one of the most powerful, and Mac has always been this scrappy underdog type. Mm-hmm. And I think this is Mil's world, man, and Mac is just living in it.
Yeah. So we got the trios, those three different teams. We think the unlikely. I want to see Iblis with gold.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. That seven way.
Jake Strong wins, no question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe cashes in. Maybe. Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But the match we are most looking forward to, at least I am. Oh, no, wait, we got Taya and Ricky Mundo.
Taya, Ricky Mundo. I'm going to go strong Ricky Mundo victory.
I like that. I do like that a lot. But, of course, Dragon Azteca Jr. versus Phoenix. Best 2 out of 3 falls.
That's a great question.
I know.
A lot of it depends on what they want to, if they have aspirations for what happens in a season 5. Mm-hmm. And if Phoenix is willing to participate in that season 5. Because if that is, if the possibilities are limitless... I might have to go with Phoenix retaining darkness.
Maybe. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's got to turn good. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to win or lose, right?
Do you think we're gonna get a Reclusa Mariposa match? They don't have anything to do either.
They might
be
involved.
Why do you think they'll
be involved? I think they'll be involved. We might get another one in there, too. It'd be nice if we could get some of these other guys that we did see, like that Desmond Xavier. And
Spectacular.
Mr.
Spectacular.
Three episodes in.
That was a music video.
Yeah. I envision, like, have you ever seen the ending of Close Encounters of the Third Kind? Have you ever seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Oh, maybe when I was a kid.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about it again recently, because they... there's like, the thing that says most about your life. Forget about your horoscope. What was the tagline of the most popular movie from when you were born? Mm. Reminds from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It was, we are not alone. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah. But, oh yeah, that all, like, ends with, like, the aliens kind of coming down with everybody, and, like, the ship opens up, and they all kind of, where were we, kind of come out of the thing, and, like, somebody's kind of taking them from, in that case, it was, like, outer space, or Mars, or whatever, but in this would have been, like, the underworld, or whatever they were, limbo kind of thing.
Something happens at the end, and all the people who have died come back.
Yeah.
I don't think they can pull that off.
I don't think so either. Yeah. It could be just green screen after green screen.
Yeah, sure. That could be all right.
Yeah, maybe. But we shall see. We do have some really exciting stuff planned for the next... And we will be back next week with the start of these kind of fun ideas we have involving, some exciting guests. Anything else from you, Max?
I don't think so. I'm looking forward to these final few episodes. And so are we sure there's only three? So how does this play?
We had thought it was 22. It's starting to appear like there's only going to be 21. Because and this is going to be split up into two parts instead of three parts because the finale is going to be 2 hours.
Gotcha. So there's still the same amount of hours.
Yeah.
But there's only two broadcasts.
Yep. So this might be okay. That might be better for the overall kind of thing. Unless it just ends up, El Rey's like, okay, just play those two episodes back to back. I hope not.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We shall see.
We should also mention our beloved Kevin Banner. Is
getting married tomorrow.
Yeah, getting, well, he's married. They're having their big special event tomorrow. Right.
They let him out of the hospital.
Yeah, so that's pretty exciting.
Totally. That'll be a good time.
Yeah, really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Other than that,
a vertible.
Let's.
May you hear that voice again soon.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
All right, well, other than that, we'll be here next week.
The question is, will you join us?